call the January 30th meeting of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Deputy Chair Walz?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
Here.
Legislator Green?
Present.
Legislator Litt?
Here.
Legislator Nolan? Was told that she's going to be fine. And Legislator Stewart?
Yeah.
Six present, and for now, one absent.
Great, thank you very much. I'd like to start with the approval of the December 7th, 2023 meeting minutes. Is there any discussion on the minutes?
I don't know, I wasn't here.
It's my understanding that you don't need to have been present to approve minutes. You don't have to accuse yourself or anything.
Is there any discussion on the minutes or a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes approved. We'll start with our first resolution for the year, resolution number 7. Urging the expeditious establishment of a New York State stewardship program that includes both packaging and printed paper. The resolution summary is that it's a memorializing resolution calling for its intended producer responsibility with the EPR program. Anyone like to discuss or any questions?
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, move for discussion.
Awesome.
So, Manu, you want to talk about it at all? It's including the word paper in the existing legislation. Is that this?
Yeah, and quite frankly, the county executive asked me to carry this because of my background in solid waste. And I do support it. It's complicated. It's complex. It's creating an entity and then sending plans to that entity for them to be approved, and then it will, over time, reduce packaging waste. It's a form of extended producer responsibility. And but I am not an expert. I read through it. It's what we've typically done here in Ulster County is decided, which the state law requires, that you decide if something has economic market, and if it does, you can simply require that it be recycled. In this case, they're pushing for to streamline the waste stream. And by the way, this is a reused bottle. But I do support it. It seems like the best thing that the folks in Albany could come up with to try to reduce packaging by making the people that are producing and distributing the packaging, which is a huge part of the waste stream, responsible for reducing it and having to come up with a plan to do so. The best I can do, because this is, I'm carrying it for others rather than something that I created.
I mean, is this going to be like the bottle bill, or now when we get packaging, are they going to charge us an extra 5 cents or 10 cents because it has to, the producer has to deal with it, much like we do with bottles?
I don't think it has a fee associated with it. It's a reduction measure, but this memorializing letter is asking us to include paper because the word paper was removed, but it still includes plastics.
Okay.
When I was reading it, I thought it'd be a minute ago because there's a company in Red Hook called Ozone, and they have little
boxes.
A company in Red Hook called the Ozone, and Ozone has boxes as you enter that you could throw your old toothbrush in it or your old shavers, and they send it back to the company that made it, and the company happily takes it back. But it's about the infrastructure to send it back.
Yes.
But I like the idea of the responsibility.
And I wouldn't be adverse to, and I had actually meant to ask the county executive to come to speak about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that if there's an urgency, but we could postpone and ask that somebody who is strongly advocating for it come to answer questions.
We have an audience member that can help.
Wonderful.
Actually, if I may speak.
Can you say your name for the record?
My name is Deb Welch. I'm a Rosendale resident, and I also work with an organization called Beyond Plastics as a volunteer. You may have heard of it. Judith Hank is the spearhead behind it. The Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act is actually in committee in the legislature in New York State. It is co-sponsored by Michelle Hinchey and Sarah Hanna Shrestha, the assembly members representing us here. In terms of recycling, current rates are abysmal, particularly in the plastics, and you as a resource recovery person would know that. Department of Energy study showed that less than 7% of all plastic is recycled. We've heard in the news, you may have seen the Consumer Reports article about packaging in our food is packaged in. A lot of it is leaching endocrine disrupting chemicals into our food, and that is a really serious health concern. The Packaging Reduction Act calls for the removal of 15 toxic chemicals, including bisphenols, phthalates, and other endocrine disruptors. It is to be phased in over a 12-year period, so it's incremental, and it also is only affecting, I think it's $1 million in net sales companies that will have to do some producer responsibility in terms of mitigation, in terms of funding it. But right now, the producers keep producing, and they're on track to produce. They're on track to double by 2030 the production of plastic. And half of all of the plastic right now on our planet has been made in the last two decades, 20 years. We need to reduce the production of plastic drastically because it's eating us. It's eating our planet. So that is one big component of it, is to reduce the production of plastic, but it's incremental. As I said, packaging waste accounts for 43% of all plastic produced. So it's the low-hanging fruit. We obviously are not going to dispense with plastic that we need for medical and automotive and household reasons. But anyway, that's a little bit about it. It will incrementally increase to a 50% reduction over 12 years. And then the remaining 50% of packaging needs to be recyclable at 70%. And that's true recyclability. So that would include, that's why the paper waste is also included. You know, I'm sure we've all gone home with a box of tea bags inside a plastic wrapper, each bag wrapped in plastic, and then a plastic outer wrapper. This is to reduce that amount of waste. And I'd be happy to let anybody know more details on endocrine disrupting chemicals and things like that, because plastic doesn't go away. It goes to our landfills at great cost. And it's also a cost to the county. I don't know what our solid waste going to Seneca Meadows costs, but the reduction in waste production should be significant.
Great. I'll get your contact info and we'll reach out with any questions. Legislator Stewart, did you have your hand up?
Rather than reduce the production of plastic, we should be producing plastic with biodegradable materials. You can make plastic out of corn. They make bags. They make pens.
Right.
I have a couple. This one's not one of them. But, I mean, we rely on plastics.
Exactly.
We need it. But we don't have to produce plastics that are going to stay in the environment for hundreds of years. We can produce plastics out of corn that a plastic bag. I know we used to drive down the road and see the plastic bags hanging in the trees and all of those things. If you take a corn bag, a plastic bag made from corn, and you leave it in the environment, within like weeks, it breaks down and becomes fertilizer for the ground. So I think we need to start concentrating more on better production, healthier production than,
yeah, and this has a funding component for that, and it encourages and drives innovation because it puts more onus on the producers to become creative.
I'd like to state for the record, Legislator Kathy Nolan arrived.
Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Litz.
Oh, I mean, I was just going to say, I'm vehemently opposed to memorializing resolutions, but I mean, I will vote to move this to the floor, but.
I just had a question for Ms. Welch. So you say this proposed legislation does provide funding for adding
Infrastructure part. It's the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. So it will actually, it has components in it to fund some infrastructure to make recycling more efficient.
But also to make plastics biodegradable. Like,
well, that is actually, the onus is on the producers because they would be required to reduce the amount of packaging waste, whether, and it's a solid waste production because, as you know, like Seneca Meadows is going to be at capacity in a few
right.
years. So whether it's biodegradable or not, it, you know, we need to make less trash.
Yes, and I know that every time you go, it seems like every time I go to the grocery store, there's just more and more plastic. Just
everything. The whole fruit aisle is, everything's been taken out of its peel.
Yes.
Put in a, and those plastic containers contain bisphenols and phthalates that disrupt people's
right.
endocrine system like nobody's business. And there was just a spate of news on this. Consumer Reports did a focus on our food packaging just in January, and it's incredibly hazardous. It's carcinogenic. It's mutagenic. It messes with estrogen and insulin and.
Yeah. Any additional questions for Ms. Welch?
Yeah.
Thank you. Legislator Green and then Legislator Walz.
I just wanted to clarify what it costs to send our waste to Seneca Meadows. It's about $10 million a year plus the emissions, the greenhouse gas emissions. It's a very long round trip, and everything we can do to divert waste will save us money while we're using that system. And if and when hopefully we are able to site a landfill, it will allow that landfill to last much longer. It'll preserve landfill space. So, you know, I trust that if Judith Inc. and Jen Metzger believe this is the best way to address packaging. And from what I read, I don't have concerns. I just feel like it's complicated. It's going to take submitting plans, getting those plans approved, and then implementing those plans.
Anyone else? Questions, comments? Great. Legislator Walz.
Ms. Walz, thank you. Not very well versed on the subject matter. It appears that it's a win-win and that it's all good, but sometimes it's, is there a downside? Is there like any type of when production of, let's say, corn-based plastics or whatnot is increase in cost, is that going to be just going to the consumer, or will the government be responsible for that part of it? Ms. Balch?
I don't think I can answer what the long-term could be. You know, producers have typically always passed the cost on to consumers for any changes they're required to make, but currently the producers are not at all responsible for the enormous costs of disposition of waste, including a lot of that plastic waste that ends up in our oceans and doesn't break down for hundreds of years. So that's a cost too.
I'll add to that. I've often said that our government should encourage the innovation around hemp, hemp plastics, hemp papers, fuel, foods, fibers, and so maybe if we're innovating with a laboratory, we can help bring costs down for producers.
Senator Hinchey just put a bill out in New York State to encourage the use of hemp.
Oh, yes, and calling it an agricultural product.
And using it in packaging as an alternative. I mean, this law could really drive innovation in a very positive, healthy way.
Yeah, in terms of the cost, I think that what this approach would do is internalize the cost, whereas currently there are those same costs, but they're being externalized to us as consumers, as Legislator Green pointing out, to us as a county. And by putting them back internal, asking the manufacturer of the product to anticipate and address these issues, you put the incentives in the correct direction. Because if they're bearing the cost, they have an incentive to reduce the cost. If they're externalizing it to us, there's no benefit to them to reduce the cost. So this is a sensible way to structure incentives to get a better system.
Any other discussion or questions? Can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Any opposed? Great. That's unanimous. Resolution number 8, confirming the reappointment to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
I'll move it.
Great. This confirms the reappointment of Regis Olvidjiski to the UCRRA through December 31st, 2026. You made a motion to discuss, Legislator Nola?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
And Matt, any discussion or questions? Regis here with us.
Well, I certainly would appreciate the support. Your good graces, I have been on the board since August, so 6 months, so I filled out a term. That term expired in December, the end of December. And since then, the board has made a decision appointing me as the chair. So I think speaks to their daring do, I guess. So I'd appreciate that kind of continuity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would suggest that the vote for the chair suggests their good judgment. I think it's really wonderful to have Regis offer to serve, and really glad to support this resolution.
I just want to say I go to the board meetings, the Elkhorn board meetings, as often as I can, because I think I'm so invested in the outcome. I worked for the agency for 10 years, and I care very much that they succeed and that Ulster County become a model of sound solid waste management. And I just want to say the feedback that I've been getting, in addition to an excellent resume, has been really favorable.
And the attachments, if anyone has questions, has Regis's resume and his CV and background. But any other additional questions right now? Do I have a motion to adopt the resolution?
So,
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So those were our resolutions for today. And I think in order to get up to speed for the year, it would be great to hear a couple of reports and go over a little bit of old business. The next meeting starts at 6, Economic Development. I think we have plenty of time to go over these reports. We'll start with MANA, with renewables. It's called 70-30, being 70% renewable by 2030.
Thank you. At the end of the year, former Chair Tracy Bartels appointed, I think, seven people who are extremely knowledgeable in the field of energy in general, renewable energy specifically. They understand the grid and financing, and it's an amazing group of people, and I think we will be able to come up with a report and recommendations by June, and then we'll spend several months getting widespread public input and then refine that document with recommendations for the legislature to consider. My feeling is if the state goal is 70% renewables by 2030, if it can be done anywhere, it can be done here in Ulster County. And thank you, Liz, for making copies. We will be doing our fifth or sixth solar mapping training as one of the steps to ensure that as renewables are put on the ground in each of our communities, that it's done wisely, that we don't, for example, cover prime farmland unless it's agrivoltaics where the farmer is benefiting by the solar rather than going out of business, and certainly not cutting down forests, which draw down and sequester greenhouse gases. So I would encourage each of us to work with our municipalities. The two municipalities that have taken the training and completed a mapping of their community are Town of Rosendale and Town of Hurley, and the City of Kingston is currently working on theirs. But in order to really map the county and see if we can achieve 70 by 30, it would be great if every municipality participated. So this will be starting in March. There'll be a watch party, that's an introduction, in February, and then there'll be four weeks of classes. So the other thing is that the committee, the working group, is doing a lot of research to understand 70% of what? What's our load? What's each municipality's load? How much are we consuming? What do we expect we'll be consuming with more electric vehicles and more heat pumps and so forth? And really doing good research. We've been in touch with every single state agency that is promoting the state's goals, the Public Service Commission, NYSERDA, the ISO, et cetera. So we're really doing our homework, and so that's the update. Anyone is welcome to listen in on our meetings, and we can share a Zoom link. And I want to thank Tehran for making sure that, taking care of that IT function. And you know, I've worked on a lot of committees over the years, and I'm absolutely delighted. Tom Conrad, Simon Strauss, I could list everybody, but they're people that really know what they're doing and are deeply committed. Some of us are up in the middle of the night doing research and writing sections, and I think we'll make Ulster County proud. So I'll take any questions, but
my question
I think I've covered two. Oh, no, the Climate Forum. Okay, never mind.
I was going to ask who the seven are, but you started answering. I was wondering if they're elected officials, the seven people in the group, or they're just people interested in the topic.
They are on their town environmental or conservation advisory committees. Two of them are actual developers, so they have that experience to know what the obstacles, what works and what doesn't. One of them is an attorney that specializes in energy matters, and several of them work in financing. So I think we have the right combination. And I believe I sent around a link that lists the outline with all of the committee members or task force members. And sometime in the future, we may come back to this committee to ask for a resolution to formalize the task force or the working group as a task force, you know, just so that when the report comes out, it's not just a report of a working group, but of essentially a subcommittee of the legislature. But for now, you know, that's I want to say that it's going very well, and I'm very proud of the fact that that folks are really rolling up their sleeves and doing the research, because we just want this to be scientifically based and valid, and not wishful thinking. And that's going to be a challenge, but I think we're up to it.
I was just going to add that one of the members of that task force is Tom Conrad, who chairs the Environmental Conservation Commission in Marbletown. And actually, he and I joined that commission at the same time. This is going back about 10 or 12 years ago at this point. And Tom is just amazing. He does this professionally. Environmental and energy research. He really knows his stuff, and yeah, he's great. So, and she also, and Manager also mentioned Simon Strauss, who's from the town of Olive, who is also amazing. And so the whole group is just really kind of supportive. So I think we did really well with this.
Thank you.
And they're volunteering their time. You know, this is people that just want to see the state achieve the goals, but understand that working locally is how that's going to happen.
Anything to add or any questions? Manor, would you, or Eric, you are also very knowledgeable about Climate Smart State Report. Would you like to start?
I will defer to Manor on the Climate Smart State Report, but we both have been working on the Climate Smart Schools program. That's something we can certainly both address.
I wanted to put the state report because in a way it inspired the Climate Smart Schools. And so we'll start with the macro if you want to talk about the state, and then you could tell us about what you did with your budget amendment.
I think that it's the Climate Smart Committee, the Ulster County Climate Smart Committee, that hatched the idea of the Climate Smart Schools. And there was a lot of support for it, but there was also the sense that it wasn't quite baked, it wasn't quite ready. So there's now a group of people, including, we're fortunate to have three teachers on the legislature, and we're going to convene a group with the people that worked on it and people that had concerns to make it something that is workable and won't raise difficulties or problems. We don't want to tell the schools what to do, but we do want to provide help. So for example, there's right now DEC has a grant for schools to do energy efficiency improvements, and I think it's called the Green Schools Program, and it's substantial amount of money. And maybe they know and maybe they don't. When I got that information, I sent it over to Jonah Shanker from BOCES because that's the best way to get out to the schools. This is one of several projects that the Climate Smart Committee, who was formed to advise the legislature and the executive branch on actions they could take. And just bear with me, I'm trying to fit in a little background because some people are new to this. But anyway, that committee meets the fourth Monday of the month, and it has very specific slots to fill. And the only slot that is still vacant is we need somebody from Public Works. So if anyone from public that sits on Public Works would be willing to join, maybe next month we could fill that vacancy.
I was just going to add, if I could, with the Climate Smart Schools, this is something that I had brought up to County Executive Metzger when she was having her kind of get to know you interviews, and she was, at that point, very, you know, excited about the prospects. I think we need to, figure out ways to work with the county executive. And also, to kind of fine-tune this, I also am a former teacher, and so, this was something that seemed to me like a really worthwhile project to get involved with, and something that Anna and Joe and I will be continuing to push as well. And I also wanted to comment that I know that we have a great partner with the Resource Recovery Agency as well. They have a great educational outreach program there, working with Angelina Brandt and Tanisha White, who are both talented ladies. And they might, depending on how things work out, perhaps we can rely more on them in putting together a program that works. Perhaps we, continue to deal with BOCES. We'll just have to say that this is a program that is still very much kind of in the organizational stage, trying to figure out, how to put this together. And we would certainly welcome everyone's input, including Deputy Executive of Evolve. So, this is something that we, intend to continue to work on, and hopefully we can figure out a way to make it work for everybody.
Thank you, and I think we would be happy to hear about the kind of next iteration of the vision of Climate Smart Schools. I did just want to offer that we staff at the Department of Environment, we reviewed that NYSERDA Green Schools Initiative because there's significant funding behind that. It is very targeted in its focus, so we were able to identify, I think, a total of five buildings in three districts that were eligible through that Green Schools Initiative. We reached out to them. We had two kind of Zoom calls to introduce the program and get those folks started on their next step.
Oh, that's exciting.
The third district, despite repeated kind of outreach attempts, hasn't responded. So, that's kind of like, here it is, toss the ball. What are you going to do with it? So, just for a little update specifically on that, just because it's such a attractive program when you're looking at, that 75 to 100% of costs are covered by NYSERDA for these certain initiatives.
Nice. And if I may, for those of you who aren't familiar with this program, the way that we kind of envisioned it is that it would be kind of a three-pronged approach in getting the schools to be more environmentally aware and to combat climate change. And so we'd be looking at facilities management, working with the schools to, you know, make sure that they have, you know, using green energy and LED bulbs and have recycling programs and all those sort of things. It would also be working with the teachers and the administrators to create curriculum that incorporates environmental awareness and combating climate change into lesson plans. And then finally, it would be working with the schools and the students in putting together like student projects to get the kids involved in the whole thing, because we found that often the kids are the ones, I say kids, the students, excuse me, are the ones who are really kind of, you know, pushing the ball forward. Examples are at Rondout High School and also in New Paltz, where they have very active student organizations that are working on these sort of things. So that's kind of how we envisioned it, and you know, so we look forward to working with the county executive's office and the Resource Recovery Agency and BOCES and whoever else wants to help.
And I'll just add, during our last discussions in December about this, there was a concern that this might force a program onto the schools and the schools may be overwhelmed and can't handle it with their resources. But I think we made it clear that we want this to be a support system to help the schools. And in a way, I think it was inspired by when legislators Green, Stewart, and I were meeting at Rondout with the Environmental Club. And the superintendent, Morgan, wanted there to be a compost program, wanted to stop throwing trays away every day, had great intentions, but then the Environmental Club shifts and the kids are gone, or they don't have the ability to stay on top of this subject, but the Climate Smart Schools Initiative would help support the schools.
Or the teacher who was involved, you know, retires or, yeah.
Right. So. Deputy Executive LeBlanc. Yeah,
just wanted to pass along one other observation I've had, and just kind of looking at this just lightly over the last few weeks, and that was, there does seem to be a rather disconnect between state ed and NYSERDA or DEC and other organizations there. So much of the schools and how they respond, and so much of their time and attention has to go towards the requirements coming from the state. There is clearly a disconnect between the environmental initiatives, the CLCPA, the climate standards, and then what is coming to these schools as far as their framework for everything that they do.
Anything to add, anyone? Thank you very much. Any new business before we go on to old business?
I was just to say that one project that I'm working on, and something I really look forward to speaking with Deputy Executive LaValle more about, is I'm hoping to get some funding together to do two things. One of them would be to increase access to waterways from our park network and from parks and our trail network, and this is something, and I've also been working with Chair Hewitt with as well, and also Legislator Nolan in our Trail Advisory Committee, and I'm hoping that in round three of funding for the parks initially, ARPA Parks funding, you have to be careful how you say that, that we can include language in that RFP or letter of intent or that goes out to municipalities that would change the language to include funding for projects that would increase access to waterways from the parks and the trail network. So that's one thing I'm going to do. Another thing that I'm working on is that.
Can I give a little more background?
Sure, by all means.
Each of our municipalities received RFPs for parks funding, and so many of our towns got parks funding, but the first round didn't spend it all, so we created a second round that spent more, but there was still more money, and our ARPA committee decided to keep it in parks instead of diverting it to another stream. So Legislator Stewart and I worked to create a more clear legislative intent for round three that has waterway access and edible fruits and different things like that.
And the total amount of that ARPA funding was $2 million. So, the other thing that I'm looking forward to working with the Department of Environment on is a study of putting composting toilets at trailheads in our trail network. And this is something that I submitted a budget amendment for last fall, and it passed, and we received funding for $20,000 for this study. And it turns out that the study is going to come in considerably under that amount. The actual amount is more like $3,600. So we have some excess money to be working with, and so I'm hoping that we can get this funding off the ground. Excuse me, that we can get this study, this feasibility study, completed, and then start putting composting toilets on a trail network. So.
Any new business?
A couple new business.
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's new that we haven't been talking about it for a while, but it's just a reminder, and especially to people that are on the planning board, that what are you chairing?
Public Works.
Public Works. Thank you. Sometimes I have a brain freeze, but. it's about CECRA, in which Amanda always reminded me, CECRA, to be sure that those projects, that development projects are reviewed, and if there is a CECRA finding that we're supposed to, there's a policy that it's supposed to come to energy, environment, and sustainability. And I think with everything else going on, that may have kind of fallen a little bit to the wayside. So it's just a reminder that I think that is a good process.
Is that only if we're declared lead agency?
No, I don't think we get to quit.
Yes, please.
Well, can you say it again, what you're saying? Because ARPA committee projects didn't go through that.
But
they had their own checklist.
They do. Go ahead.
ARPA is federal money. CEQA is the State Environmental Quality Review Act. ARPA would have a checklist or a process under NEPA. Mm-hmm. So it's really only when you're stacking your funding sources that then you would go through your NEPA. Up for a transportation project, you'd have a NEPA checklist, then you'd go through your CEQA determination, and then you would do whatever is triggered by local money. So it does depend on the funding source.
Great, thank you.
And one other if I could. I'm also hoping to get, like I said, this study with the Department of Environment, and I know we need to talk about this more, but I'm also hoping that we can look into doing a study that would work in conjunction with the SOPA Stream Management Project. We're working with, I have yet to meet with the stream management folks, and I understand they're having their first meeting next week, and unfortunately I'm going to be out of town, and so I'm not going to be able to attend. But they have expressed a willingness to look into the water access thing too, which I'm totally excited about. They also, since we're talking about the ESOPIS, they also are very involved in planning with the Marbletown Park that's on Tongor Road. So those are exciting things, and I'm looking forward to working on that. And I'm also hoping that we could figure out how to fund this study for septic systems on the ESOPIS. That's something that was a topic of conversation when we were at the walkthrough that was done at Tonga Park late this summer, early last fall. And that was something that Riverkeeper was very much interested in taking part in. And so that's yet something else I want to speak to you about when we have some time.
Great. just keep me posted on when it gets back on the agenda.
Sure. So that's just kind of an update on the many things that I'm kind of spearheading right now.
Any other new business before we move on to old business? First item is the UCRA reform update. Anna, would you like to cover that? I was at the meeting as well, but let us know.
Just mainly the group is intentionally diverse so that different stakeholders are participating, and we're looking at waste diversion, disposal, and then the intergovernmental relationships and agreements, and the contract between Ulster County, and when that was signed, we didn't have a separate executive branch. It was before the
charter.
Thank you. I'm not finding words today. Anyway, that contract expires in March of 2025, and there are various different recommendations. One is to expand the board of the RRA so that it is more representative of the sectors in the county. Another is to consider disbanding, and that would mean requesting the state to withdraw the authority that they created the agency with and making it a department. And my understanding is that the executive branch would not favor that. I don't want to speak for them, but I think, you know, my approach is to whatever difficulties the agency has had recently, try to resolve them and strengthen the agency. And in particular, I'd like to start with finding a way for them to initiate the Reuse Innovation Center that was, we paid $75,000 for that study, and I'll be darned if it's going to sit on a shelf. It really needs it. Having cleaned out a basement this summer, I can attest to how much we need a Reuse Innovation Center to keep things in the material stream. So my idea, and it might be hard to for some people to swallow, but since it's not in our budget and it's not in the agency's budget, I would like to take away the idea that the agency always has to, for no matter what they do, they have to raise the tipping fee to balance the budget. They have a tipping fee and they have a balanced budget. If we're going to ask them to do this project, I would consider and like to hear what other people think, but the idea of giving them the green light that they can come to the legislature for a net service fee for a specific project that we're asking them to take on. And that still means they balance their operating budget with the tipping fee, and they have done that. But it may be a stretch, but it's one way, because I was very disappointed that there was no place to put a budget for the Reuse Innovation Center, which that whole concept was brought to everyone's attention by John Wackman, who did the repair cafes around the county, and we want to see that through in his honor.
Great, thank you. In a way, we covered two topics at once. I'll add to the first topic about the UCRA reform update. I attended just because I was interested, and I was so impressed by the progress that you were making, because there was resistance to creating the committee, because it was like, let them do their job, but I felt like it was a healthy way for us to understand okra better. And Comptroller Gallagher created a report based on diversion, disposal, and finance. And each one was action-oriented. What are our next steps? What can we do? Who are our collaborators? So I thought it was a great meeting. But then also we're talking Resource Innovation Center. So we're blending those two topics now. You have something to add?
I was just going to add, following up on what you just said, I mean, when we voted to create the Reform Commission, that was Legislator Maloney's idea, which I thought was great, and I was happy to sign on to that. I also wanted to give a shout out to Comptroller Gallagher, who I think has done some really great work and has a lot of good stuff to contribute to these meetings. Also, Supervisor Baden of Rochester and former Chair Bartels all are playing a really key role in that.
And Chair Gorse was there too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that their report is due in June. Is that right, Anna? So there's a lot going on between now and June in that commission. And one thing that I wanted to add was that I have approached Clerk Fabella to try to arrange a field trip, if you will, for members of this committee and for members of the UCRA Reform Committee, and also for the UCRA Board, to perhaps go down to Rockland County and visit the facility that was formerly, I'm blanking on the official name of the facility in Rockland County, but it's their, it's basically their resource recovery agency there. And that was formerly led by Anna Rapola, who is the, interim director at the agency currently. So I'm hoping that is something that Vicki can put together, that we can do sooner rather than later.
Great. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
You'll organize it?
Vicki is organizing it.
Great.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, on the topic of the Resource Innovation Center, I support it and support the repair cafes. Those are brilliant. But I think one of the things that might help as we're thinking about the different types of things that we do headed towards zero waste is many of them, I believe, will have cost reductions, like we were talking about in relationship to the resolution we were discussing, that if you invest your money in your innovation, you actually reduce cost. If you handle your compost locally instead of having wet garbage trucked for hundreds of miles, it's saving money. I think that if we did look at those kinds of figures, even in rough terms for various activities, I'm not sure where the Resource Recovery Innovation Center would come in, but I think lower than some of those other things. And so that doesn't mean we don't keep it on our list and we don't want to do it, but it may mean that it's right that we've put funding towards some of these other things and not yet put the funding towards that. I don't think it is possible to do everything all at once, although I think we can do many things at once. I think we should prioritize towards the things that are going to improve our environment and save us money.
I just wanted to mention that as I've gotten to know Madam Jo, she's taught me a lot about waste and resource recovery. When I moved here and I started using the transfer stations, I just thought that was normal for garbage. But I learned that we're one of the most innovative counties when it comes to our transfer stations. Diverting at the town level, I thought this was an old concept, but it turns out it's Madam Jo and early innovators who helped make it happen. So I feel like the next step is the reuse innovation centers at towns, distributing the way we handle our garbage. And so that's why I wanted to add it to old business, to get the conversation moving. And I think we should each read the study. How do I get the study, Madam Jo? Could you share that with me, Liz? The study for the Resource Innovation Center that we have?
Reuse Innovation Center.
Oh, yeah, it's wrong on here.
Yeah, that's a misprint, which I just noticed, yeah.
I think we should share it with the whole committee, please.
Okay.
Reuse.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Did somebody have a question?
Oh, I was just going to say that was a perfect tie-in to what I wanted to add, is that the town of Marbletown is hiring a recycling coordinator for their transfer station, and I would certainly love to work with you, Chris, and Manajo, and whoever else, Amanda, if you want to get involved too, with the agency. I mean, I think we have a real opportunity to work with Marbletown and this person who's going to be taking over this position to really, you know, make Marbletown kind of a model transfer station. And I had breakfast with the town supervisor today, and this came up, and so kind of like to plant that seed, and you know, we can have a Zoom meeting, or you know, we could come down to the transfer station in Marbletown and you know, discuss these things. So
I just always want to plug that New York State DEC has very consistent and reliable funding, 50% reimbursement for recycling coordinators, programs, et cetera, equipment at the municipal level.
And I'm sorry, that's the state?
DEC.
DEC, excuse me.
And this is how Kingston does much of what they do, New Paltz does, however, not all the towns where they're taking advantage of that. But very consistent 50% reimbursement for those positions, and there's also a capital on equipment.
Well, that's awesome. I will need to speak to Supervisor Parity about that right away. Thank you.
Great. Also, yes.
The question about the getting access to the report from the Resource Innovation Center raises for me the question that maybe it would be good to have a page on the website, because I think the county is re-looking at all this, that's all related to wastes, recycling, reuse, and to put all those reports there for the public. It's one of the ways that you get outreach and interest.
I think that's a great idea.
Is are they already up there?
It currently is there. It's on the Department of the Environment website, but it is there, the final report is there.
Great. So we just can circulate the link to that, maybe.
I added the zero waste implementation plan because I kept hearing about this WIP, and I was wondering what this WIP was until I learned more. Can you give us a little background, Manager?
The Z-WIP.
The Z-WIP.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what you call it?
This, when, I think it was in 2020, first the Resource Recovery Agency and then the legislature passed a revised local solid waste management plan. And it was the understanding of the legislature at that time that there was a deficit in the plan. It was very specific on things like landfill siting or shipping waste, or it had timelines, implementation strategies, costs, everything. But when it came to waste diversion, there was a lot of language, but no, here's how you get it done. So the idea of the zero waste implementation plan was a group of people who were passionate about waste diversion, including initially some people from the agency. We took a zero waste training and we started to work on this plan. Former legislator Petit and Bartels both put a lot of time and energy into a first draft, and then we hired a consultant to try to pull all the pieces together so it was presentable. And that didn't get completed. It got about three quarters completed. And the consultant also gave us a clear idea of what still needed to be done and what it might cost. But it's a very good document, and it's actually the basis for a lot of work the Reform Committee is doing right now. It went through almost every material you can think of and focused on, for example, mattresses or batteries or, you know, and And so there's a lot of good information there, but it has not been refined to the point that it can be a final draft for input and then a final report. But it's the umbrella. So the Reuse Innovation Center would be a part of waste diversion, what is already being recycled by the agency would be a component, but then there's everything else that could be diverted, and how can that be diverted, and a lot of work went into it, but we have to find a way to complete it so that we fill that gap in the local solid waste plan. And the idea was it would take 2 years to get that done, and that the local solid waste management plan gets reviewed every 2 years. So it'll be a little more than 2 years, but it is sort of a loose end that it would be good to find a way to tie up.
What's the missing piece to complete it?
I'm sorry?
What's the missing piece for completion? Is it funding or time?
I think it's somebody to take responsibility to do it, and if that requires funding. The suggestion, we paid $10,000 to the consultant. They did a lot of work, but they ran out of time, and there was no more budget. They estimate another $5,000 to finish it. I don't know if we would want to go that route or not, and I think we ought to, you know, just figure out the best way. And I tried to get the reform committee to take on the Reuse Innovation Center and the Zero Waste Implementation Plan, and they basically put it back to the legislature. They are going to focus on the things that they're required to under the enabling legislation, but it's a loose end, and I don't know if anybody has suggestions, but I think for this first meeting, just knowing that it's a loose end, and then maybe some of us can think about what the next step is, but there really should be a zero waste implementation plan, because that will make, we'll be shipping less waste. Same thing as we said about the Reuse Innovation Center, ship less waste, landfill space lasting longer, et cetera.
Great, thank you. I'd be happy to work on that with you. And finally, I added the last item because I think the that legislator, former legislator Erner, was very innovative and often introduced legislation that was cutting edge and unheard of sometimes. So, as the idea of the Hudson River having rights, the rights of people and protections was evolving, the law came very close to passing, but I think it was so new and unique as far as litigation and how to handle the real protection of the river, it didn't pass. But I'm interested in this committee thinking about it this year, discussing it, and how certain rivers like the Klamath River in Oregon has the rights of people. And in New Zealand, there are rivers with rights, and it's innovative and new, but I think that Manjo and I had a conversation recently about how I think one issue with the environment and the environmental movement is people don't love the earth enough, don't love the forest and love the rivers. And Manjo said that's why Clearwater was created, to get people to love the river, experience the river, spend time on the river. And so I'm just thinking, how do we inspire people to care more? And this kind of legislation helps inspire that kind of care.
So I guess not everybody can be a farmer.
That's right, with their hands in that coil. Mm-hmm. Legislator Nolan?
Yeah. I think that it is true that the way you come to love something is to be close to it, to experience it, and it's one of the reasons that I do the trail work that I do, because people who get out, even on a trail that's a multi-purpose trail, go into areas where they otherwise wouldn't be, and out in the western part of Shandaken, which I of Ulster County, which I represent, we have a lot of backcountry trails, and people come hoping to experience that, but it's often too much. It requires a level of experience or preparation, skill, fitness that they may not have. But provided with another option, people will experience the outdoors and derive a lot of benefits from it, and I think come to love it and want to protect it. So I'm right there with that. And this local law, I thought, had a lot of good direction. It tried to do two things at once, I believe. One was to enter into that realm of rights of the river itself, which I think is interesting and innovative and worthy of pursuit. But it also tried to incorporate implementation and protection in a concrete sense that most of those rights of nature laws do not. So they usually say there's a right to nature, but it's used in, the laws are tended to be used to help support other laws. This law tried to build in a mechanism to actually enforce against certain kinds of pollutions, and I think that also has value. We have laws to prevent pollution, but trying to do them both in the same document, I think, is part of what generated some of the difficulty. It certainly generated my not bringing full support for it the way it was written. But I'm interested in it, and I'd be happy to continue looking at it, and perhaps if there are others that want to work on it, to bring back something that goes in either one of those directions or the other. My preference would be to have more focus on the rights and to begin with that, and maybe just some kind of, you know, shaming of those that we discover, rather than having Ulster County have a responsibility to fine or otherwise do something that could cause a lawsuit against the county for the very law that, you know, was trying to add extra protections. This law was criticized for entering into a realm where other levels of government had responsibility for that enforcement activity. And so perhaps by moving a little bit away from that, or looking to enforcements that are not likely to generate lawsuits, we could have our river and enjoy it too.
Good. Thank you so much. Anything to add?
And I was just going to add to that. I mean, I don't want to put Amanda on the spot here, but I understand that that was hesitation, this fear of lawsuits, and perhaps forcing the county executive into making decisions that, you know, she would prefer not to. That was a problem that the county executive had with this legislation. So
that I felt was well founded.
Yes. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, I think I agree with what Legislator Nolan is saying, in that I see the value of that proposed legislation as extending the concept of jurisprudence, which tends to focus on human interactions, to include the rights of nature. And I think that's important to do. And a lot of work went into it. There were people calling for it, and they had to be satisfied. And I want to say that Legislator Erner and Attorney Dave Gordon put a huge amount of work into it. And, you know, maybe we revisit it and see what makes sense now with this legislature at this time. But I do think we have that New York State law that guarantees a clean, healthy environment. And I think this was partly meant to kind of test that and poke at it and see, you know, how far our legal system will allow non-human parts of the ecosystem to have rights.
Yes, I'd like to just make a couple of comments about the UCRRA. I want to say that we appreciate the Reform Commission. We certainly appreciate this, you know, this committee and working together, because what we feel is that we have a public health problem with waste, that it's larger than, in a sense, you know, the end of the line, which would be the RRA. And, you know, there's a certain humanity that feels we can't be blamed for what happens upstream. Well, yes, we can. That we do need to speak with each other. Legislator Stewart, you know, had mentioned a best practice in Marbletown. There was a best practice in Shandaken recently on household waste. What I really mean is food scraps and composting, and what that leads to. And Angelina Brandt, our education coordinator, sustainability director, and Tanisha White, we're talking to board members about this. And I said, really, Shandaken? I said, I live in the town of Ulster, and I compost in my backyard, you know, and I have woods behind me. And they said, well, you're not Shandaken. And Shandaken has a unique issue of very insistent large wildlife that could militate against, you know, household and garden type enterprises like composting.
We have those in Marbletown too.
So I think there are leading practices that are going on in the county. That was a surprise to me. You know, I just thought, well, gosh. You know, if anybody's going to be composting, it's going to be people in Shandaken. Well, they have their own set of issues. At the RRA, we certainly have lots of internal opinions that have been floated among the legislature, but I have to say that our predominant view on the RRA becoming a county agency is remote. And we're gonna work, not fight, but we're gonna work to prove ourselves that we can run this as a good, solid business, and in concert with all our stakeholders, including everybody in this building, and have a good community dedication. So when I said that I think that the waste has become a public health issue. This is, in my mind, an all hands on deck. That doesn't mean to keep pushing it away from us. We want to be included in. We want to be included in that, because yes, we are spending. And Amanda was quite right. You know, over $10 million. You know, to truck up to Seneca Meadows. You know, in Western New York, it's ridiculous. And I disfavor a landfill, but I find it inevitable. You know, I think because very few people want, welcome, are fighting for, will fill out an RFP to get a landfill. I think it's inevitable, and it's really okay, especially as Manager Joe has described it many times, if it's done in a way that really isn't just poisoning us further than we have already. So we welcome these partnerships. There are plenty of issues. Chair Hewitt was saying that maybe reuse ought to be considered to be decentralized rather than centralized. And I think there could be both, but without a decentralized community dedication to do the right thing, we won't have a centralized RIC. We really need decentralized practice. We have 19 MRDCs. We have transfer stations. And they all do things a little differently, some a little bit better than others, and they all have their unique qualities that we can learn from. But I think that is those are decentralized outposts for all of us to consider if we want to do, let's say, composting, or even if we want to do reuse. But that would require some manpower. It would require some funding to do this. But you know, we believe all of that is possible. But we really need this to be a community enterprise, and really we want to be a part of it. We want to do a good job. You are stimulating us to be better at what we do. We've had a leadership vacuum, and that's not going to happen anymore. We're not going to let that happen, and we're not going to let our board dissolve into chaotic disagreements. We can disagree, and we can disagree civilly, and we can get things done. And I'm convinced that the board that we have right now, and we also would welcome other people. That would be fine. We only have five. If we had seven, that would be fine. If we had nine, that's okay too. Please don't do more than that. But you know, we welcome that input. We feel that the community really should be speaking to us and for us back to the community. So this communication really needs to happen both ways. So there's a lot to discuss, and I just wanted to say those few things, and I'd like to come to further meetings, and I'll be at tomorrow's meeting as well. I think your firm committee meets tomorrow, am I
yep,
right?
1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be for that, so I might be saying some of the same things. So
we appreciate it,
yeah.
And we look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Do you disseminate your best practices out to all 19, transfer stations?
No, what I'm saying is that there are best practices that occur within and different practices that occur. In fact, again, Angelina Brandt came up with a one-page grid to show exactly what each does. And when you look at it, it's a little different. So,
shared that with the other 18, they might pick up a better practice.
Yes, of course. Yes, that would certainly be the case.
Legislator Nolan, did you?
Yeah, I'm reminded that I think under old business, if we could discuss maybe at the next meeting, Gus, okay. Green, Ulster, Sullivan,
Right.
If I can also say, it probably should have mentioned it under new business, but in my day job, I've had reason to be looking at New York State's new structure around potential environmental justice sites, justice areas, and disadvantaged community areas. And if the committee would like to look at that, there is a new member, newish member of Mountain Keepers, Catskill Mountain Keepers staff, who did her undergraduate thesis on them and has presentations, including maps that she's created of the potential environmental justice areas and disadvantaged community areas in Ulster County.
Great.
So
can we get a report next month about that?
Sure.
That would be awesome. I'll reach out to you. Thank you. We have a meeting right after this. I'm hoping to wrap up, but one more, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to say that I was disappointed to learn that Marlboro might be closing its transfer station. If there's any way we can prevent that, it really is valuable to have these 19 Saugerties and Woodstock share one, and a couple don't, but almost every town in the county has that, what I consider to be the first line of defense. And, finding a way to improve those. And I also want to suggest that back in the day, and you'll have to excuse me, but I was there back in the day, we had monthly recycling coordinator meetings where we shared best practices, and people really looked forward to those, and we learned from each other. And I think that's why we were so successful in establishing, we went from 4% to 40% waste diversion in a decade. So, you know, if that might be worth reconsidering. And by way of trails, because it's Black History Month, I want to be sure everybody knows that Scenic Hudson has the Sojourner Truth Trail, which I just discovered. Somebody sent it around on Facebook, and I looked into it, and it looks magnificent. It's in town of Esopus on, I don't know how to say that, the ridge?
Shopping.
Yeah, that. And if anybody wants to go explore that, I'm interested. It's only like 0.3 miles. It's not, you know, a 10-mile hike, which I don't think I'd be up to. But it's short and sweet and has a lot of important information. So I just wanted to
share. Maybe I'll try to organize a walk before our next meeting.
Okay. All right.
Anything else before we return?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion carries. We are done. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Welcome to EES.
And thank you, Chair Hill.